We're up to Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chav Zayin. Okay, so we are continuing the history. These Pesukim, this Perek, as you, I think, are by now are aware, it's an extremely difficult Perek. And there are many interpretations for every single Pasuk. And now we're coming towards a later period of history, of world history. And as we go forward, it gets more and more vague. And when it started off, it was very simple. There's the king of Yavan, Alexander the Great. It doesn't say exactly his name, but it's clear as day who he is. He dies. His malchus is split into four parts, plus a few more. Okay, that's clear as day. We know how that is. Then there's the north, and there's the south. And the north is very clear. The Syrian Greeks in the south are the Egyptian Greeks. It's very clear, and then it gets a little more vague as we go on. There are some battles, so you study history and you try to fit what it says in history. I have the answer for you. Rapport, Shin Aleph. I called you twice, but the phone wasn't working. Shin Aleph. We'll talk later on. But as we go through the Pesukim, it starts out pretty clear when you attempt to look at history and take the events of history and read them into the Pesukim. Then as we go to the battles between the north and the south, so there are different interpretations. There's Rashi as the Mahalach, which is very clear, and then you look at the Baronel Nam album, and they have another record of history, and they read in the events in their way. But now, then we go further, we go to the point in time of the Chashmonaim, and there are allusions to the Chashmonaim, to the miracle of Hanukkah, and the Chashmonaim. And then we learned yesterday about Rome comes to power. And now is really where it starts getting much more vague. Okay, so here we're continuing in this period of history. We're soon going to come to the Churban Bayis Sheni, and then we're going to come to modern times. What happened after the Churban Bayis Sheni until the time of the Crusades and the time of Eastern Europe and Poland and World War I, World War II, and Milchemes Gog-Magog. We wind up at the very end of the Milchemes Gog-Magog. But the point is, it's getting more and more vague as we're going along. Not that we can't read the events into world history, into what the Pesukim say, but it's more difficult. So here, Pesuk, what?
It's like a telescope. What's closer to you?
It's clear.
Clearly, what's
further away is more vague. Exactly, exactly. So that's very true here. Ushneim hamalachim levavim lemeira. Pesuk Chav Zayin. The two kings, levavim lemeira, will plan evil in their heart. Their hearts will be evil. Now, what exactly does that mean? We'll see in one moment. And when they sit together at one table, they will speak falsehood. Falsehood means, in this context, they will plan to do horrible things, which against us. That's an interpretation. It doesn't say that. It doesn't explain it explicitly in the past. That's how we're going to understand. They're going to ration according to the Mesudah Stavet. They're going to plan. They're going to plan to do horrible things. But being the pasuk describes it as the word kazov, this indicates that it will not come true. It will not come to fruition. Their plans will fail. And that's why it says here, because they will plan false, they will plan to accomplish things which will not succeed. V'lo sitzlach. There's repetition. I don't know what the significance is, but there's chazav, v'idabeh v'lo sitzlach. Why? Ki od keitz lamoed, because the time is not yet come. Now, what exactly does this mean? So let's look there. So Rashi and the Mitzudas pretty much they have the same approach, but here they differ. There's a very significant difference between Rashi and the Mitzudas, and it all reflects on what period of time in history we are referring to. We're dealing with the same general period, but which period? Now, we have to understand that we have to study history a lot better, of course. And I'm unfortunately not very strong in this area, but during this period of time, after the time of the Chashmonaim, when Rome has already come to power, it was obviously there was a transition period. It didn't happen overnight. There were major wars between. Well, right now we're in the period of Rome. I think about right now we learned yesterday already. Rome already had, according to our approach to understanding these pesukim, we're now at a period of time where Rome has dominated. The Melech Tzafon is Rome, and the Melech Negev are still the Egyptian Greeks. They are not a major player. They have been severely weakened. But there are still battles. The Egyptian Greeks are still putting up a strong. They have a. resistance, and they have presence in the region, and they have influence, and they have control. And Rome is not the only power. Rome is the dominant power, but there are pockets of resistance. And they are called the Melech Tzafon. But it does appear, we have study history, there are times when they were at peace. Just like we know that Rome, when Rome came to power, it only came to power by making a treaty, a bris with Bnei Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael, with Eretz Yisrael. And that is how they were able to enter and fool everyone in the region by coming and making peace and getting inside information from assistance from Eretz Yisrael and using that assistance and that position to conquer the other areas in that region. It came a point later on where Rome, for different short periods of time, made peace with their arch enemy, the Egyptians. There were moments when there was peace. And when there were peace, what brought them together? Their common denominator was their will to cause harm to Klal Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, to the Jewish people. Just like today, there's a lot of fighting among... What?
One Roman, one Egyptian is not enough to cause harm to Israel?
There are two major powers now.
No,
Rome.
You say they come together.
They come together to harm Eretz Israel, correct? That's their common desire. They hate each other. They're fighting each other, but this they agree with. Like today. Today there's a lot of fighting among the Arabs. They're all at each other's throats. There's no agreement between Iraq and Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, and Syria. Everyone has their own agenda. But one thing they all have in common.
The enemy of money.
They all have in common, they want to cause harm to Eretz Yisrael. That's their common. If you take that away from the equation, they would be at war with each other. That is very clear. We see that today. And that is our Baruch Hashem. That's the only reason why we survive, because that saves us. Because they themselves, the Sunnis and the Shiites, are busy killing each other. They don't have time. They don't have time to really concentrate on what they really have in common. But here we have, according to Rashi, and according to Rashi, and the Masuda says that the two kings that we are referring to here refer to the king, refers to Rome and to Egypt. They, although they are fighting, and we did learn over here the last couple of sukkim, and when Rome comes to power, they're at each other's throats, and Rome is trying to conquer Egypt, but there will come a point in time when they will sit together al shulchan echad. They'll sit at one table, and they will plan and conspire against Eretz Yisrael. You have to study where exactly in world history at this point in time, approximately 180 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, or maybe a little bit less, where they were at peace and they conspired together. But of course, at that point in time, they were not successful. As the Pasuk concludes here, Ki Od Keitz L'Moed, the time is not yet ripe. Now let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk of Zion. We'll go slow. And we'll do Rashi also. We'll just want to go one thing at a time. But let's see the Pasuk of Zion. Ushneyam Hamalachim. So here the Mitzvah says, Melech HaTzafon U'melech HaNegev. Very big Chiddush. Because it's not easy to match this history where this occurred. Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make. That's why I want to show that now, at this point in time, in this parak, we're going through world history, as Rabbi Michal said, as the Malach, Daniel, was standing during the time of Paras. Okay, there was no Yavan yet. Alexander didn't even come yet. So Alexander, that's on the horizon, and he saw the four kingdoms, he saw. Then he even saw Rome rise, and he saw the Chashmonaim, and he saw Hanukkah. But now already we're getting into this vague area. Now we're getting to this point of time. It's approximately 100 BCE, secular dates, or somewhere around there, maybe a little bit before 125 BC, maybe a little bit before that. But we're getting to this point in time of the Romans. They're coming to power after the Chashmonaim. They're going to install the head Hordes. That dynasty of Hordes is going to be the last dynasty, which is going to be a puppet government in Eretz Yisrael under the authority of Rome. And Rome is still dealing with the Egyptian Greeks. They're still fighting a little bit. And here the Mitzvah says a mouthful. You can't imagine how much interpretation this requires. That who are the two kings? The two kings, the Shneim HaMelachim, Melech HaTzafon, Melech HaNegev. Who's the Tzafon? Rome. That's how we're learning. That's, again, we're following this very simple interpretation. Tzophon is Rome. Melech HaNegev are the Egyptian Greeks. They're still there. Levavam Lemeira, the Mitzvah says, Yeh Levavam Lasos Roli Yisrael. The common denominator of these two nations is to cause harm to Israel. Now you'll right away ask, well, what do you mean? Bishlomo, the Egyptian Greeks, they were always at war with the Jewish people, there was always problems. But Rome, for 26 years, was at peace with Bnei Yisrael. They made a bris. 26 years were the golden years after the time of when the Hashmonaim came to power. There was a bris with Rome. That's what it says in the previous passage. We learned yesterday that in the back of their mind, after 26 years, no more. We want to abrogate our bris, our covenant with Klal Yisrael, and we want to conquer them. We want to control them. There's a lot of money, there's a lot of wealth, and we want to put an end to their religion, and so on and so forth. So here they're going to join forces. What does it mean here? Yal shulchan echad, bihi yosam nu subim leechol, when they'll sit down to eat, which means there'll be peace. Try to find the peaceful period between the Egyptians and the Romans at this time point in time. You have to study history. When they'll sit down, biyos misubim leechol yidabru kazav ratzalam yidabru laabed es Yisrael. The malach was speaking to Daniel here in all of this entire parak. Koru. Kozov calls this a lie. Al kiloin din skaima at sasan, because it will never come true. They will not be successful, not at this point in time. Not now. Not at the time when Rome, not at 180 years before the Churban Bayis, Sheni is when Rome came to power, that first original period. They, at that point in time, wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, but were not successful. Hashem did not allow it to happen. Why? So Rashi, the Mitzvah, says something very, very important. This is very key. Ki'od keitz lamoed. Because the time is not yet ripe. The Jewish people, they did not deserve to be destroyed. They did not deserve that for that at this point in time for them to lose the Beis Hamikdash. Loi nesmala saw ki yesh oidzman. There's still time ad keitz hamiyud, until the time. The keitz means the end of days that is designated lohem ki adayin loi nesmala hasaah. The measure of sin is not yet filled. You cannot bring harm upon a person if the person does not deserve it. Klal Yisrael did not deserve to suffer galus at this point in time. They may not have been perfect at this point in time, but they did not deserve that the Beis Hamikdash should be destroyed and the people should be killed and others sent into exile. Yeah.
Is that the Venoshantem period? Or that's earlier?
No, Venoshantem is the Bais Rishon.
Oh, okay.
So that we're way past.
Oh, okay.
So that we're already 300 years since then. Almost 300 years since then. So the dialogue is smala hasa'ah, v'loi ba'kitzam liyos nevodim, their time did not come for them to be destroyed. So it's a very important principle that you cannot bring harm to a person if they do not deserve it, even though everything, there's no reason not. If we were to study history and we would look at this pasuk, there is no reason why the alliance of the Romans with the Egyptian Greeks should not have resulted in the obliteration, the success, the conquest of Eretz Yisrael at this point in time. Absolutely doesn't make any sense. Al derech hateva, this is what should have happened. That's what the pasuk is saying. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to, because why? Because the pasuk says, V'loy sitzach ki od keitz lamoed. Hashem says, they don't deserve it. Even though al derech hateva it should happen, I'm not going to let it happen. Fascinating pasuk. And this is according to the Mitzudas David, which is taking, obviously, in Mitzudas David, obviously, says 100 times, obviously, it's, a lot of it is taken from other sources. But Rashi has a little bit different interpretation. Pasuk of Zayin, Shnei Melachim. Who are the Shnei Melachim? So number one, Sar Roimim, okay, the Romans. It's the same period of time. Every year, it's extremely dense, very fluid. Every few days, something happens. We think that we're living today in times where everything happens very quickly. We're living modern times, 21st century. Every day, it's a whole new world, technology. The truth is, during this period of time, things were happening very quickly. Very quickly. Things slow down. After this time, you come to the 11th century, the 12th century, things took 100 years to happen. But during these 200 years, the last 200 years of the Churban, the last 200 years of the Bayis Sheni, a lot was going on. Rome was turning over. Every day there was another Caesar, there was another assassination, there was another war, it's Lebedek. Things were happening very quickly. And that had an effect on Eretz Yisrael. And that's why we could have such a thing, where we could have a very different interpretation between Rashi and the Metzudas. Jesus just two on the page. Go start trying to figure out what the Ralbach says, what the Rabbi Menel says, and what the Malvim says, and what Rav Tzadik says, and Rav Sadi Gon says, and another whole list of Rishonim, how they learn these psukim, then you really get dizzy and you try to match and you study history, and not everything that we have history is accurate, and there are a lot of contradictions between the different accounts of historians, because we're going back way, way back. A lot of the things are very sketchy.
If you look at the sun scene,
yeah.
A quick look, and they're trying to
match up the dates.
Ptolemies and the
it's hard.
And then the Romans and the
it's very difficult. You have to
places.
You have to. It's not something that you can just spend a few minutes, few hours doing. You have to really devote a significant amount of time to fully understand and absorb and comprehend all of the whole sequence of events and how everything comes into play.
Is this conspiracy that's going on here is to destroy the Jews as a people?
Both. I think both. Both. This is not the Yevanim. The Yevanim did not want to destroy the Jewish. Did not want to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Did not want to kill anyone. They just wanted to remove religion, to remove the sanctity. The Romans wanted to destroy the Jewish people. No more. They should not be a nation. You should just be a member of Rome. The world should adopt, including Eretz Yisrael, the values, the Hashkafa, the outlook of Rome. No religion. No Beis Hamikdash. Very different approach. Yeah.
I don't think that. It's that Esav cannot coexist
with Yaakov. The Ulaom Milom Yematz. One nation is in power, the other cannot be. So Barashi here says something very different. Shem Shel Roimim Unigid Habris. Who is this? Who Hurkinus. Remember, after the death of Shlomis? Shlomis Hamalka. She had two sons. This
Shlom Tzion Hamalka.
Yeah. So after she was one of the last descendants of the Chashmonaim, she was the end of the line of the Chash. So we're jumping now to the end of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim. She had two sons. Well, she had two sons, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, and they had one. They had. She gave it Salva. She was an old. There were wars. It was a very, very ugly period of time between these two brothers. She gave it Salva on her deathbed, that Hyrcanus should succeed her, should take over. And Aristobulus was not very happy with that, as you can imagine. And that led to wars, alliances with representatives of Rome, and eventually they asked Rome to come in, and everyone had, I don't know the names, I can't know all the names but there were other people that were made believe they were assisting, trying to mediate the dispute between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, and each one had their own army, each one had their own set of followers, and the people that were getting involved were really putting themselves in position so that when Rome comes with their big stick, they'll say, all of you forget about it, and we'll put our own people. And the people that were mediating between these two, here we are. Hineni, here we are. We will take over the malchus. We will collect the money. We'll take the money for ourselves. All of the taxes. So here, that's what Rashi exactly saying. Not like the Mitzudos that here, that there's an alliance between two secular, two outsiders of Egypt and Rome. Who got Egypt involved here? Forget about Egypt, according to Rashi. We're dealing with who's the two kings. One is Horkinus, the malchus of the Chashmonaim, from the very end of the Kufa of the Hashmonaim, together with Rome, they will conspire against Aristobulus. So Hyrcanus, she is chader l'Azra. So Rome is going to join with Hyrcanus. Kidei sheyazor gam hu al Aristobulus achiv hamoylech b'yushan. Because even though the queen, on her dying, on her deathbed, gave instructions that Hyrcanus should take over, that only lasted for a short period of time. Eventually, there was a revolt, and the Malchus was switched to Aristobulus. He dominated. It went back and forth a few times. There were constant wars and struggles, civil wars between these two brothers. And it came a point in time, Rashi over here is selecting a very specific slice in history. Okay, well that's why we're getting very difficult now in these psukim. What exactly are we referring to? We're referring to a very specific time where Aristobulus was in control, and the other weaker brother Hyrcanus, who was really felt that he had the right to the Malchus because his mother, the queen, gave a command that he should be the king after she dies. He made an alliance with the Romans, and that's who we are calling here in this pasuk the two kings. Ushneim hamalachim. Who are the two kings? King number one is Rome, the Malchus of Rome. King number two is one of the two brothers of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim, who is now kicked out of the Malchus, Hyrcanus. They together, Levavam Lemeirah, they will join forces, they will have an alliance in order to kick out, to push out the other brother, Aristobulus, V'al Shulchan Echad Kozov Yedaber, but V'loy Sitzlach. So Rashi says, V'loy Sitzlach, Sheyim Sheyis Morsru Yisrael Lahashchasa, but Oisin Hayamim, it's not going to be successful. It's this, their plans are not going to work. Ki od Kate Samoid Hachurban, now the Hachurban, Lamalo, so at this point in time, it will not be successful, the plan to take away the Malchus from Aristobulus. And Rome, in the back of their mind, wants to take for themselves, not only to take away, they want to take everything for themselves, but like this is similar to what the Mitzvah says. Hashem will not allow this to happen. The Malchus will continue to survive for another 100, approximately 100 years. 150 years, it depends exactly which point in time this was, until the Chum Bayesheni, because Ki od Kate Slamoid, Hachorbin Lamalo Shivu Ayim Shishim Ushnayim, Hamur Misafer Zeb, because we learned in the beginning of this paragraph, we learned in Paratest, they're going to be 490 years. We have 7 times 62, there's going to be 490 years. Well, there's more, but the 490 years from the time of the Chorban, the time of the Chorban Bayis Rishon until the Chorban Bayis Sheni, and the point that we are at this point, we are now approximately 120 years away from that, 120, 150 years away from the Chorban. It's too early. It's premature. It cannot happen. When will that happen? That will happen during the time of Agrippus. Agrippus was the last king. He was part of the dynasty of Hordis. Be'agrippus, ben Agrippus, be'zerah ha-Hordis. From Zerah Hordis, that comes 120 to 50 years later from this point in time. So let's review this pasuk. Shnei ha-Malachim, l'vav l'meirah. Let's just recap which tkufa we're holding. We're holding during the tkufa of the Romans. The Romans already have now are in control. The Chashmonaim, the dynasty of the Chashmonaim is coming to an end. And at this point in time, they're going to be two kings. According to them, the two kings are Egypt in alliance with Rome. They're going to try to cause harm to Klal Yisrael. Rome is going to annul their brisk covenant with Klal Yisrael. And they're going to form an alliance with Egypt to conquer Eretz Yisrael. They will not succeed, according to Rashi. We're going a little bit earlier. We're going towards the tail end of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim, where Rome is going to form an alliance with one of the brothers a Hyrcanus who's finding his brother Aristobulus, and they're going to form an alliance to try to take away the Malchus from Aristobulus and share it between Rome and Hyrcanus. But the Pasuk says they'll sit al shulchan echad because of Yedaber, they'll speak lies, they'll plan to do things which will not succeed, because Hashem says even though they're chatev, it should happen, it's premature, has been the nesmala hasa'ah, the measure of punishment will not be fulfilled until 490 years since the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, which means we have still approximately 150 years to go, maybe a little bit less, until that point in time, and therefore they will not succeed. Pasuk Chof Ches. Now again, these are all very vague. Psukim. Going further in history, the Ashav Artsa Beruchush Gadol. This simply refers to Rome. Rome will not succeed in conquering Eretz Yisrael. They will install Hordes. Okay, they will install a puppet, but they will not have full shlita. The Beis Hamikdash will continue to exist. The Avoda will continue to exist. The law, the Ashav Artsa Beruchush Gadol, Rome will return back to their homeland, Beruchush Gadol. Ulavavoy al bris kodesh, but there'll be something which bothers them to no end. Their heart will be, why is it that we were unsuccessful in conquering Eretz Yisrael? And although we know, it's in the records, that we have made a covenant with Eretz Yisrael so that we will not harm them, they don't care. Ulavavo, their heart is disturbed al bris kodesh concerning the fact that they made a treaty, a holy treaty with Klal Yisrael v'osa. And what they will do is they will act upon what is bothering them, and they will officially make believe there never was a treaty and sit the whole day and plan, try to figure out what they can do to conquer Eretz Yisrael. V'osa, they will break the treaty. V'shovli artso, they will return home because they're not successful in conquering Eretz Yisrael at this point in time, but they plan to return to conquer. Let's see the Mitzudos for more elaboration. Pasuk Chof Ches. V'yoshov melech hatzofon. So the Mitzudos learns who is the subject of this pasuk. The Rome. Rome is Melech Tzofon. Yoshuv liartzo b'ruchush gadol. What's the ruchush gadol? Asher sholom imelech ha-negev. Because even though according to the Mitzudos and Pasuk of Zion, this is very bizarre what the Mitzudos is doing if we pay close attention. In Pasuk of Zion it says that they're at peace with each other. The king of the north is at peace with the king of the south. And according to the Mitzudos, the king of the south is Egypt. They're at peace. But they're only at peace for the purpose of conquering Eretz Yisrael. But for everything else, they are at war with each other. And indeed, Rome is the dominant force in the region, and they will succeed in conquering Egypt, and they will take with them the spoils, the wealth, the enormous wealth of Egypt back with them home to Rome. So they will return back home to Rome, to Italy, with the spoils, with the wealth, the possessions of the Egyptian Greeks. That's what's happening during approximately 100 BCE. Approximately at that point in time, that's exactly what's happening in history. Ulavavoy, machashevis lavavo, yihya al krisa sabris. When Rome goes back home, there's one thing they can't live down. They can't live down that they made a bris with the Jewish people. They're not going to cause them harm. Asher karasim yisrael am kodesh, rotzoloimar. In their heart they will plan lahafer habris. I guess at this point in time, you know, you can't break your word. I guess there was some expectation, there was some degree of integrity in the world at this point in time, and it would take time until the world will forget or tolerate that they can break their covenant with Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says. That's what it says. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. We don't really know. There's a lot that's been lost from history. We don't understand how people behaved, how people reacted to world news. We don't know what it was like. We really don't. But it appears one thing is clear, at least according to what it says here in Daniel, there was a bris, and this bris appears all over Chazal. There was a bris between Rome and Eretz Yisrael. And this bris lasted for at least 26 years. And it was supposed to last forever. But They don't want to, they can't. They can't keep up to it. V'asa, next words of the Mitzvot, they will do. Kasha choshav ken yasa. Like they plan, so they will do. V'yofer habris. They will annul the bris. They will make it official. They'll issue an official edict. No longer is this in effect. A new resolution in the UN. The bris that we had with Eretz Yisrael has expired. No more. No more treaty. V'nilcham bam. They will go to war.
Which pasuk is it?
I'm reading from the Mitzudas, the end of Pasuk Chav Ches. V'nil chambam. Here the Mitzudas says that already at this point in time there will be some minor wars between Rome and Eretz Yisrael, but they will not succeed. Like in the previous pasuk, the achar ze yachazor liartso, they will fail, they will go back home. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk Chav Ches v'yoshov melech haroim liartso mi'al melech hanegev rechush kadol. Exactly like what the Mitzudas says. Ulevavay al bris kodesh lohofer briso mi'al Yisrael. Exactly like the Mitzudas. V'yosa kolaymar v'yitzliach, they will be successful. Here he learns v'yosa, not like the Mitzudas, that v'yosa means they will officially annul the treaty. Here v'yosa means they will be successful in war with the other enemy in the region, namely Egypt and Veshov Liaretz. So, okay, let's go further in history. Pasuk Chav Tes. La Moyed Yoshuv. They will come back again. Going further. I don't know the exact dates, but there's going to be a second attempt. Rome will once again come again. Yoshuv, they will return. They will return to the region, Uva Vanegev, and they will go and they will conquer the south. They'll come back to Egypt for more. They'll come to conquer more spoils on other nations in that region. But here it says, Velosia Korishoina Vicho Acharoina. Now we discussed this yesterday. We discussed this in more detail yesterday. According to Sefer Daniel, again, how this, you're going to match this, you're going to superimpose the world history upon what it says here is a different story. But according to a Sefer Daniel, Rome ascended to conquer the region of Eretz Yisrael and Egypt and Syria and so on and so forth 3 times. In the big picture of world history, there were 3 major conquests. We have the Crusades, there were 10 crusades. Right? We know we're going 1,000 years later. 1,000 years later. So we know there were the 10 crusades. The only really significant ones were the first 3. The other 7 were relatively speaking minor. The first crusade, 1096. I mean, this is the history books. Then there was a second crusade, which was a little bit more schwach. The third crusade was pretty big. That was a very major. And then there were smaller crusades, which lasted for approximately how many years? About 200 to 300 years was the period of the 10 crusades. Here is something very similar. There were 3 crusades. Now, the word crusade is not the right word, obviously, but the Romans attempted to dominate the region 3 times. The first time, they succeeded. Not only did they succeed, they established themselves as the world power. They took over leadership, power from Yavan. That's what we discussed in previous Pesukim in this parak in great detail. Everything that we've learned is where Rome came for the first time, 203 years before the Korban. They came to the region and Rome took over. Rome took over power the same exact time that of the miracle of the miracle of Hanukkah was exactly the period of time when Rome took over power in the world. Yavan came to an end with the miracle of Hanukkah, and with Yavan coming to an end, who filled that void? The Chashmonaim. A Chashmonaim was in Eretz Yisrael, and in the world at large was Rome. Rome made peace with Eretz Yisrael for 26 years. That was the first conquest. 206 years later, they would come back again for the third conquest. And what's the third conquest? When they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We're dealing now 10 Caesars later. Okay, during when Rome came to power, that's really when Rome became an empire. Rome was originally a republic, now became an empire. Julius Caesar was living at this time, and then it was the first Caesar, and then fast forward 206 years later, we have the 10th Caesar. Nero, and his general Titus and Titus destroys the base Hamish. That's the third conquest. In the middle, there was a second conquest, which we don't hear very much about. Rome was going through the Punic, I think it was Punic Wars, and there was a lot of civil unrest. There was a lot of, Rome was very turbulent. A lot of things were going on all over the world at that point in time. In the middle of that period of time, they figured it would be a good idea to come back again to Egypt and make another attempt to conquer Eretz Yisrael, but they will fail. And that's what it says over here in this pasuk. It says here, "Lamoed Yashuv," at the appointed time, meaning shortly after the first conquest, somewhere in the middle between the first and the third, Yashuv, they will return. Uvav Negev will come to the south, but v'lo, it's not going to be good. They're not going to be successful. It's going to be a failure. V'lo Sihiya. It's a very important pasuk. Charishayna v'choacharona. It will not be like the first conquest, and it will not be like the third conquest. The first means the first, and the later one, the one that comes afterwards. The one that comes afterwards is number three. This is in the middle. The first and third were successful. First, they established themselves as a world power. The third, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and exiled Klal Yisrael. But the middle, nothing doing, no big deal. Let's see the Mitzudos David Pasuk Chavtes. Lamoi Lazman Hazeh B'Shanu Acheres. At this point, this time, the following year, which means, according to the Mitzudos, it means exactly a year later, exactly 1 year from the time that they left, when they packed up and they went home, they will come back for another round. Lamoed will be a major attempt. Lamoed Yoshev Lova Biarets Hanegev Lilochim Bom. But the Mitzuda says Velosia Avalosia Darkoi Mats Leches. Their way Mitzlachas. Their way will not be successful. Like the previous year, referring to really to the whole Tkufa, that whole period of time of their first conquest. Now, what are we referring to? What's the acharona? That's the mulchama that we're going to first discuss a few psukim from now, when they'll come back again to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Now, he's saying something a little bit different. He's saying, Mitzudas is saying a later mulchama. I think I told you Rashi. He's referring to what it says at the end of this parak. Now, let me just give you some little background. We're going to get soon to a point in time where the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. That's how we're going to read the Pesukim. Okay, we're going to read that into the Pesukim, according to almost everyone. And then we're going to discuss the Golos, the beginning of Golos, of the Golos, which means the Jewish people go to Bavel. And what happens in Bavel? It's a very productive time. This Talmud, Talmud Bavli is formed, the Mishnah is.
Going back to Bavel?
They're going to Rome. Right. They're going to the Talmud Bavli is there. They're going to Bavel. That's right. They already were in Bavel.
Yeah.
They already were in Bavel from the time of the Churban. There was already a presence in Bavel from the time of the Churban Bayis Risha. And even though it's now been 420 years, like wow, even more, it's been 490 years, they still never left Bavel. There's still a very significant presence. So now, when you go back to Golis, where do you go back? You go back where you used to. You go back to the Alpha Haim. This is where we came from. We came from Golis. We were 70 years, unfortunately, a very small percentage actually made Aliyah at the time of the Bayis Sheni. So there was a very strong presence of Jews in Bavel, even though it's been a long time. It's been 490 years. There is still a very significant presence of Jews in Bavel, and the exiles will make their way to Bavel as well. Many went to Rome. I mean, the Romans, when they conquered the Beis HaMikdash, we know that. That's when they established a very strong presence. And you show they were very good. The Romans were very good to the Jews in Rome. And they came to them, they were too good. There was too much assimilation. When the Jews came, when the Romans conquered, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they exiled the Jews to Rome, they had it very good there. But many Jews went, and what happened during that, the immediate aftermath of the Churban Bayis Sheni, Mishnayis, Rabbeinu HaKadosh codified the Mishnayis, the Talmud Bavli was put together, Talmud Yerushalmi. It was a time of Torah. It was a great expansion of of Talmud. So that we're going to have here in the following coming up. Now, here's where it gets confusing. Then, for the last couple of sukkim, we're going to have more details. What are these details? So, give me two mahalchim. Either we are continuing to describe history. And if you read the psukim very carefully, it's describing the Crusades, it's describing what happened, the expulsion from Spain, the expulsion from England, it's describing Poland, it's describing World War I, World War II, it's describing 21st century, and then it finishes off with Yishmael, with the Tsarist of Yishmael, modern times, and then Milchemes Goig Umagog. That's how I'm going to try to learn the Pesukim with you, to go through the Pesukim. So right now, we're coming soon now, right now, we're in between the miracle of Hanukkah and the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Or, you could learn the Pesukim, that after we finish describing the Churban Bayis Sheni and the Tkufa of Talmud Torah, of the explosion of Torah that occurred in Bavel, the Pesukim are they going to go backwards. Let's fill in some of the details of the Roman conquest of the Bayis Sheni. Let's go back. The Romans destroyed the Bayis Sheni. Let's fill in some of those details. So we're going to really go back and tie up some loose ends. The Mitsudos here is doing that. The Mitsudos over here is saying, he's taking that approach. He's saying, here it says, Apostle Chavtas, there are three major conquests of Rome. First, last, and middle. The first and the last is very successful. The middle, nothing doing. They were not successful. It wasn't mitzlachas. When he says acharona, so what's the acharona? Back, look at the words in Tzavim. It's acharona. V'loikim milchama ha'acharona asher tiel achar milchama ha'hi. V'hi ha'milchama. So he's quoting from the end of the perek. So the Mitzvah wants to understand the end of the parak is going to fill in the details of the Churban Bayis Sheni. I want to warn you that that's not the only way to learn those psukim. Some will learn those psukim that he's quoting over here as a reference to Milchemes Goig Umagog, or a reference to maybe World War I, World War II, or to events that are happening in our generation, 21st century. So he's just saying that if you want to learn the psukim very simply, that pasuk is going to fill in the gap. That's the Milchama Acharoina. The Yal Milchama Achamur Lamatu Ve'ez Ketzis Nagach. The Nema Bavi Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Sil Fleita. And at that point in time, Egypt will not be a source of escape. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk of Tess. Rashi, Lamoe, Liachar Zman, Velosia, Habia, Hazos, Mutzlachas. This second Mutzlachas, this conquest number two, will not be successful. Korishoina, Harulama, like we learned above. Viamad, Minetzer, Shoroshecha, Shitzliach, Melech Hatzafon, Melech Hanegev. It's not going to be successful, like we learned in the beginning of the parag, where Egypt. Where Rome will conquer. Rome will conquer the Greeks. And will not be successful like the next battle. Pam Shnia, Zo Shamarnu Vishov Li Artso Bruchush Godol. This that we said, the later one, they will return. So he's learning a little bit different. He's learning. Rashi is learning a little bit different than I told you. So let me explain how Rashi is learning, then we'll stop. Rashi is learning that this battle, this now is the third. Let me just take a step back. Everything I told you, which the parish I really enjoy, is the approach of the three major conquests of Rome. First, third, and middle. First is where their dominance of the region. Third, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And in the middle, we have here a period of time over approximately 200 years. In the middle, they tried to conquer, but they were not successful. Okay, that is the Mitsudos and the Hanilvim Olaf. Rashi is saying just something very simple. This now is considered the third battle. Two battles already have passed. If we go back, and we look back in the Pesukim, Rome ascended for the very first time. They fought 32 wars with Greece. They lost them all. And then finally, after 32 battles with Greece, with the Yavan, they finally won. That's the Rishona. Then they were there. They stuck around for a period of time. And there were some wars, other wars. And during one of those other wars, there was another major battle. And they won that battle as well. That is the Acharoina. So the first one was the first time they appeared in the region. The second one was a later battle in that period of time, where the Pasuk says they totally swept, they took away from Egypt all of their wealth. Now they're coming back for the third time. And this third battle that they're coming now is not going to be successful. We're not going to focus on what's going to come in 200 years from now, 100 years from now. That we're not going to focus on, the Chum Beis HaMidrash. According to Rashi, the Lo Siyah, this that they will come now, at this point in time, to conquer again, it will not be successful, Karishayna, like their original conquest, V'cho Acharon, and like this is the past, not the future. Like the past, second battle. There was another battle which occurred in the past, which they were another conquest of the south, which they were successful. Now they're trying to do the same thing for the third time. They will not be successful. But we do know in the back of our minds they'll come back again a fourth time, according to Rashi, where they will be successful. Final time where they will be successful. Okay, but the other mahalach, the mitzvah thing is much more enjoyable, is the three major attempts of Rome to conquer the region. So we'll start with Pasuk Lamed.